What's going on over there at Town Hall, Benny B., town trustee? You had a big meeting last night?
We sure did. We didn't get out of there till about 9:30 last night. There were times when we were just cruising along, and I thought we were going to be done early, and then it kind of screeched to a bit of a halt. But I'll run through a few things quickly that we had on our consent agenda. Senior Taco got an agreement for their modification of premises. So that's their, basically they can officially open with their liquor license and everything. So if you haven't been by the new Senior Taco,
was there the opening night? Then, very exciting.
Go check that out. We also approved a special event liquor license for Ride the Rockies, the big, huge, I don't know how many people, 1,000 people, a few hundred people, bike
event.
People. Yeah, that goes across the state. They're going to be here on Wednesday, June 12th. And if you have any time to, listeners, if you have any time to help out with a big event in town on Wednesday, June the 12th, go to carbondale.com. That's the Chamber of Commerce and tourist site, and they'll have a sign up for volunteers. They are desperately seeking volunteers for Ride the Rockies.
I think that might be the start of the race.
I don't know exactly where it is in it, but my understanding is that that's one of their shorter days. So I don't think it's actually the start, but it's that they just come from Snowmass that day.
Oh.
So that's a really short day for those riders,
because
they can do like 80 to 100 mile days with three passes and crazy stuff like that.
Right.
So they'll be here. They'll be here a lot during the day, and we'll close down, 4th and Main, just the 4th Street part across from the launch pad there. And have a kind of beer garden and
Partay
and all that. So welcome, Ride the Rockies.
Have you ever read that?
I have not.
No, me neither.
No, I think it would be fun to do.
Yeah.
Another special event liquor license for Carbondale Clay Center. They're going to have events every first Friday, and that allows them to use their whole front yard space. So that'll be nice. And then made a slight code amendment, updating our sign code for the marijuana signs.
After you got spanked?
Yeah, after you've talked about that a lot. I don't think we have to go back into that. But basically, it basically makes the marijuana sign code the same as all the other sign code, except for the total square footage is smaller. But what it allows the marijuana businesses to do is put like a green cross or something like that. The sign code used to say they couldn't put any kind of graphics or symbolism or
imagery. It's content neutral.
Now it's content neutral, exactly.
To use the legal phrase
that's right.
This case turned on.
Yeah. So hopefully,
determined by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. Hopefully that won't result in huge pot leaf signs all over town, because that's what I think the town kind of was trying to avoid with that sign code, was it being really in your face all the time. So far, the industry, I think, has done a pretty good job of being present,
self-regulating,
and all that, but being a little low key, and we hope that continues. We are kind of three bigger items then, where we had a long discussion with members of the Environmental Board, some students for CRMS, and some other interested citizens about potentially expanding the plastic bag ban townwide. So listeners are probably aware that City Market's the only place in town where you can't, where the town code says you can't get a plastic bag, and you have to pay 20 cents for a paper one, or you bring your own. And so there's been a lot of interest over time in expanding that townwide. And we didn't quite get there last night, but the feedback that we gave the members of the e-board and people interested in that topic is, let's look at that a little more comprehensively, or a lot more comprehensively. If the goal is to really reduce single-use plastics in town, then let's look at that whole issue and not just pick off that one smaller item. So kind of sent them back with some work to do. We've had these discussions for a while, but we weren't quite there yet on that one.
But you can't buy a plastic bag, right? You can only buy a paper bag?
At City Market.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But at other, you go anywhere else, you go right next door to Ace Hardware, you can get all the free plastic bags that that you need. And so
there, you go to Ace first.
So there is some
ask
discrepancy.
For a giant bag and walk next door. Huh.
It does make sense to explore the issue a bit more.
We lived an awfully long time without plastic bags, and
we
seemed
sure
to
did.
Be okay.
I'm the skeptic on this one on the board, and the reason is because there was actually a really good piece on Planet Money a couple weeks ago that if you want to look it up, it says, are all bag bans garbage? That's the name of the piece on Planet Money, and it's a really interesting review of the science and the studies behind it. What happens when you ban plastic bags? People buy a lot more trash bags for their trash at home, and they paper bags actually have a bigger climate footprint than a plastic bag. And you know, there's all these like unintended consequences. So I just
it's a complicated
issue. Exactly. It's more complicated than just ban it. And
it's relatively simple if you just buy a nice bag and.
But even that, read that article. It's or listen to that podcast.
You're
it's
starting to sound like Perry.
It's
well,
really
now.
Interesting. Okay.
Did you hear him?
I listened to him.
Everything's too complicated. We can't do anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Yeah. I mean, fair point there, yeah. Bob. I think
couldn't
that's
possibly do anything about the climate because there's three people who still have coal jobs in Meeker.
Yeah. I just want our decisions to be based on real evidence and best practices. Yeah. So, like, we have.
You're an evidence-based guy.
Yeah.
So, you're an educator. Do you think that that U.S. students should be taught Arabic numerals?
I mean, what are we getting into here, Bob? Where are we going? This is the trustee report.
I mean, that's the numbers that we use.
Right. So, what are you
talking? But only 26% of Americans surveyed thought that it was okay for schools to teach Arabic numerals.
Well, it's the way you pose the question, right? If you say numbers, they'll say okay. If you say Arabic numerals, they have some idea
just,
that it's
people too stupid to be a democracy is the question.
Okay. All right, Bob. Back to the meeting.
Bag ban. What are you banning now?
We're not banning it. Okay. And that was kind of part of our take too, was like, is there a way to accomplish the goal of reducing plastics without the, you know, heavy-handed action of ban this and ban that? And so,
but first you got to figure out what you would rather have people do instead.
Exactly.
Sounds like you don't know.
Well, yeah. And and I just, my personal kind of skepticism on it is like picking off kind of the smaller items that people are really focused on right now, straws, water bottles, bags. There's a lot of other things going on in our lives, so I just want to make sure that whatever we're doing is as comprehensive as possible. So I think we may move towards something like a goal of by Earth Day 2020, we have a policy in place that's moving Carbondale toward a no single-use plastic or a zero-waste sort of community or something like that.
Yeah.
But it needs to be based on best practices and evidence that it works and that it's going to be good for the planet overall and not have a lot of unintended consequences. So
yeah, Kroger is going to be out of the plastic bag business by 2025.
Yeah, great.
Sooner. That'd be a good thing for them to do, just open their new store without plastic.
Well, they have to anyway, because they're under the current
ordinance.
Yeah. So that's already taken care of.
Scratch that idea.
Other things that we talked about were, let's see, an amendment to the town center plat. So that's the area that's around Thunder River Theater.
Around Thunder River Theater, where we dropped the leaves and where Granetta Panini is. Those three areas.
And this one was focused, or the changes in the plat were focused on the area around Thunder River. It was really mostly about, the way that we discussed it, it was mostly focused on that part of the property and the walkway through there known as the promenade. And
so the promenade being that sidewalk that walks in front of the theater and connects Main Street to Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not a huge change that I think anybody will notice, but it changed instead of the homeowners association there maintaining that, basically the main landowner will maintain that. That was honestly the big change in there. There were some design guidelines underneath that plat that went away and are replaced by the guidelines that apply to the whole rest of the downtown under our unified development code. Those seem to be the biggest.
And the condominium association went away as well.
The homeowners association,
which included the existing building where Backbone Media and some residences and Greenlight Architects and a few others are in there.
That's right. Yep. Okay. So we approved that, and the other thing we did was we had an executive session on property acquisition that we made a decision in, so it's now public, that the town is going to buy a piece of property that's got a modular home on it right now. It's on 8th Street, right where the bike path crosses, where the Rio Grande Trail crosses 8th Street. And Merrill Avenue comes in.
On the west side of the street?
On the west side of the street. There's one, the closest home to the bike path and 8th Street on that northwest
corner. This is the
corner.
Piece of property that was needed to someday punch through Independence.
Industry
Way.
That's
to
right.
Highway 133 to 8th Street.
That's right. So we purchased that property.
Well.
Yep. Or we're signing a contract to purchase that property. It'll close in a few weeks, but it was a good process of... getting it appraised. We've had a few meetings about it. The landowner came to the town and offered to sell it so that, in the future, if we need to punch through Industry Way, we won't have to condemn it and go through all that kind of, more antagonistic process that can often result in a lot higher spend from the town for a piece of property. So that's been a long-term goal of the town, is that eventually, once the new City Market property and all that on the west side of Highway 133 gets developed, the long-term plan is to have some sort of controlled intersection there at Industry Way, whether it's a roundabout or a traffic light or whatever. And that, there's a long stretch from Colorado all the way up to, Village Lane, where you can't really get into town. You can't cut through between 133 and 8th Street. So Industry Way has long been a goal of the town to acquire the easements to be able to punch that through. So we acquired...
Expanding the grid.
Yeah, an easement on an adjacent property that's being redeveloped right now. We got that easement a couple years ago or a year or so ago. Now we've purchased this other property. We're going to leave the modular home on it until there's an actual plan to punch through Industry Way. And in the meantime, that'll be employee housing for a town employee. So it seemed like
Excellent.
A good deal. Yep.
Excellent.
That, I believe, is all.
Town trustee Benny B. bringing us up to date. So that we don't have to go to the meeting.
You should still come.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday is a work session. We may make it a special meeting so that we can have another executive session on another potential property negotiation. But we're going to talk about affordable housing next week. So if you're really interested in that, there was a big housing needs assessment done valley-wide. It actually went all the way down to... I think Parachute and all the way out to Eagle and all the way up to Aspen and Glenwood in between. So we're going to be discussing that next Tuesday at Town Hall at 6:00, among a couple other things, an update on Bob's favorite topic, the single hauler waste contract. And just so everybody's aware, in June, you'll be able to pick your size of, if you're a Carbondale resident, you'll be able to pick your size from kind of small, medium, or large trash service. The smaller you go, the less you pay. And you can find all the details on pricing and stuff at carbondalegov.org. If you don't contact the town and you don't do anything, you'll get a default size that's right down the middle. It's like a 36-gallon, I believe, or a 64-gallon. It's the medium size, which should handle, I think it's like 5, kitchen trash bags can fit in it. And then you'll get a big recycling container as well. So we encourage people to... go to carbondalegov.org, check out your waste hauling options, and sign up or take the default. Sign up starts in June and service starts in September.